5K, have you registered yourself? So you needed to do that. Almost. Yes, almost. That's good. Write Edwin's name right down there. He's almost registered, because September 18, we're going to have a beautiful celebration here. And we have, you're going to say something, right?
Yes, I'm just going to, I'll speak loud.
You speak loud, please.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that we have two major events at our church, and this is a great opportunity for you to invite friends, family, neighbors. It's not just about getting healthier, which it is, but it's also about bringing other people to just come and see what Christians do and what we're doing, and that health is part of it. So don't see it as exercising. Oh, I didn't walk enough. I didn't train enough, so I can't do it. It's also an opportunity. If you're not going to walk or run, maybe you can volunteer. There's room for everyone to participate, even if you're not walking or running.
Mm-hmm.
You can even crawl.
Wow. Yes, yeah. I'll probably do that.
We have an event for that. Oh,
yeah. Thank you, Edwin. And you, Jean Chris, what are you going to tell us about the event?
Okay, so Edwin mentioned that we have people who we still need to have register. And how many of us are actually registered already? I know there's a handful of us. Okay, and are you people who are registered eager to get other people to register as well? No, I didn't see much of a response from that one. Okay, so we have a little challenge for those who have already registered or those who will register in the short future. And that is, let's see how much you want to be eager to get people to register. So I want you, if you have access to the internet, of course, to make a short video of yourself, whether on your phone or a camera or anything else, or you can ask me and I can help you shoot it. A short, maybe 30 second to 1 minute video on why you are ready to move. And let's see if we can make you more effective than some of the videos that I do.
Okay.
So that is my challenge for you. And if you do that, we'll post some of the rules for this on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/WayneLMD for Wayne Let's Move Day. You can also go to our webpage, wayne5k.com, and hit the Facebook link. And then we'll have the instructions and rules there. And I guess I could post on the website as well. So if you're eager to work in that challenge, maybe we'll have a little something for you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Jean Chris. So this event will only be successful, right, Delma, if you register yourself and bring other friends. This is going to be awesome. So you don't need to run. You can run. You can walk. And you can even what?
Crawl.
Wow. I'll probably crawl because I tried to run But this is a blessing, so let's make it happen, all right? I learned this phrase from a friend very dear of mine. Let's make it happen, shall we? Right? Let's make it happen. Let's close our eyes at this moment and ask for special blessings. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this blessed Sabbath. Thank you for the family of Wayne is together, worshiping you, our eternal Father. Thank you, Lord, because our family has so many friends and guests that makes our church beautiful and blessed. Bless each one of our lives here this morning. As we open your word, speak to us. You know what we need. You know, Lord, our shortfalls and where we need to be transformed, where we need to be changed. Lord, we need you. So please confirm once more your presence. We pray in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to invite you to go to the book of John, the Gospel of John. If you have your Bible, open it. If you don't have, you're going to find a Bible just in front of you. If there is a guest that probably is not familiar with the books of the Bible, please help them to find the book or the Gospel according to John. And we're going to start on chapter 2, verse 1. If you don't have, you know, a Bible, you can use your cell, your tablet, whatever you have at hand. But find that and follow. I will read from the New King James Version. John chapter 2, and we start from verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now, there was set there 6 water pots of stones, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs, Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." What a way to start his ministry, right? You know, just to give a little bit of background, there was some time since Mary saw Jesus for the last time. The last time Jesus left home, he went to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And he was baptized, and that's when he received with his disciples and all those around, he received the confirmation that God was the Son of God. And Jesus, after receiving the anointing of the Holy Spirit, what he did? He went to the desert. How many nights? How many days? 40 days and 40 nights. And he fasted. He didn't eat anything. And at the end, the devil came and tempted him. He was able to overcome temptation. He was victorious in the middle of this anguish. He defeated Satan and he came back, you know, with his life completely changed. Jesus was not that young boy or that, you know, that lad of the neighborhood. There was something different in the face of Jesus. Everyone knew that, you know, he had been in the presence of God himself. Actually, everyone could see the divine person in the person of Jesus. So when Mary saw him, was at the wedding feast. What a surprise. Mary was terrible, you know, terribly missing her son. And she heard news from him that he got baptized and then he was led to the desert. She was concerned. She remembered, you know, years before when he was the age of 12. And she remembered when he got lost, her affliction, and now finally she was able to run and embrace her son. But she noticed that he was not that same Jesus, the little boy. He was now a man. And she could see that this man actually was indeed the Son of God. And I don't know where you come from, but in time of Jesus, when you invited someone for a wedding, you invited the whole family. And probably the neighborhood would come as well. Have you been in celebrations like that? I've seen a lot in Brazil. I've been in parties that I was never invited. I can imagine myself today doing that. But yes. You know, a friend of mine was the invited person. And I was there celebrating the wedding of someone I didn't know. Oh, those days, huh? And Jesus came to the wedding. And he brought all his 12 disciples to the wedding. I guess that's why, the wine didn't last for long. But Jesus was the type of person that people were drawn to him. When Jesus arrived at the celebration, people were coming to him to hear, his teachings, his experiences. And also, everybody, no matter the background, would feel themselves with Jesus. When you were in the presence of Jesus, you were not afraid that you're going to be judged, discriminated, rejected. No, Jesus was the type of man that he would embrace everyone, no matter, if you are rich or poor, educated or uneducated. He didn't care that. He would love everybody for what they were. That was amazing. And everybody was, being close to Jesus, trying to be close to Jesus. And I can just imagine, as a mother, Mary could be even jealous a little bit because it had been so long she was able to be with her son. And now at this wedding, she was trying to have some time alone with his, boy, her boy. But soon, the news ran. The only person that didn't know anything was the master of the feast, and they tried their best to not tell the groom and the bride that, there was no more wine. If you are married, or if you are planning to get married, just think about this is the most important day probably of your life. Since the time you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. Now you're going to marry the man of your life, the woman of your life, the one God brought together. You want to make sure that that day will be remembered forever, right? But you don't want to remember that in your wedding there was not enough wine. Oh, there they come. We went to their wedding, and guess what? There was nothing to drink but water. Can you just imagine? You want your wedding day to be remembered, and people will come to say, oh, I remember your wedding. There was plenty of food, and there was a beautiful decoration. The place was great, and the wine, the grape juice was the best I have ever had in my life. You want to hear something like that. So Mary was probably part of the family or some kind of a relative of this family. That's why, Mary and Jesus were invited along with his disciples. And Mary knew that they had this great problem. Without telling anyone, she knew that her son could do something here. And she thought, this will be a good opportunity for he show himself to the world. This is a good point. He is the Messiah. He is the Redeemer. He's going to be the great one, the saint, the one sent by God to redeem his people. What about if he starts showing some miracle here? Yes, I will help him out. Jesus, come here. I need you. I need you to do something here because we have no more wine. Strangely, Jesus looked at her and said this, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me?" It seems to be rude of Jesus, right? If you say it today, "What does your concern have to do with me?" But listen, when we read the Bible, sometimes we can perceive, you know, the emotion, the voice tone behind what is said. We can probably not perceive, you know, the way Jesus spoke to her and the words Jesus used was not at all rude to his mother, which he loved very dearly. Remember, when Jesus was suffering at the cross, what he did? "Mother, this is your son. Son, this is your mother." Jesus loved her mother dearly. He would never be rude to her. And probably at this time, we don't see Joseph in the story. She was probably a widow already. So Jesus would not be harsh on her. "Woman" is a word of, you know, of love. It's a tender way to call a mother in the time of Jesus. "Mommy, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to set me up." Mothers love to do that, right? "Hey, come on, let's go to church. I know you can play. People will see you playing. Let's go." Huh? "Hey, I want to go to my friend's house. You know, she has a beautiful daughter, probably. You know, you can meet her and you're going to like her." Mom, mothers, you know, they're very professional on those things. Some will call manipulation, right? And Mary was trying to manipulate Jesus. And Jesus, you know, with love, told, "Mother, remember, I am here to do my Father's will, not your will. When my time has come, my Father will tell me to do something. It's not coming from you." But, you know, in his mind, I'm sure God had told him what to do. And then he comes, the servants, and to prove that Jesus was not rude to Mary, when Mary left, what she told to the servants, "Do whatever he says you to do." So Mary knew that Jesus was going to do something. But it was not because she said so, but because the Father said so. And Jesus, and the servants came and Jesus said, "Okay, you see those water pots over there? I want you to go all the way to the well and bring and fill all the water pots with what? Water." What's water have to do with wine? Nothing to do. Do you use water to make wine? What do you use to make wine? Grapes, right? If you put water, it doesn't work. So the servants said, "What? He's going to make them drink water?" They didn't have a clue what Jesus was doing. Anyways, what they did, they obeyed Jesus. And they went and they started bringing. Each one of these water pots would fill about, how much? 20 to 30 gallons. It's a lot of water. So they had to work hard, bring water from the well, filling to the brim. What was in the water pot? Water, right? And water. So, "Jesus, we're finished. We have done what you asked. What should we do next?" the servant asked, "Go and take some of what? Huh? Take some water to the master of the feast and give him to drink." And they did. I don't know. But Jesus is asking, I'm going to do because Jesus is telling me to do. I have no clue what this is all about, but they got water and brought it to the master of the feast. And when he tried, he went straight to the bridegroom and said, "Are you crazy? Everybody give the best wine at the beginning of the feast, of the celebration. And when everybody has drunk a lot, that they cannot, you know, perceive the taste of anything anymore, you give what? The inferior. You give the inferior afterwards and let them drink. But you have saved the best wine to the end." You know, weddings in the time of Jesus would last for days. There's some parts in the words that is still the same thing. They will celebrate weddings for, you know, probably a week, 10 days. I don't know. But that was the case in Jesus' time. And there are so many things that we can learn from this. I don't know what was the position of the bridegroom. He said, "No, we have served the best. But I don't know where this comes from." You know, Jesus is always like that. When you go to Jesus, he's going to give you the best. In the first lesson I want to bring here for you, it's about the servants. The servants are those who obey without questioning. It doesn't matter what it says. It doesn't matter what God asked them to do, they will do because of what? God told them to do it. This is a servant that will do whatever their Lord tells them to do. If it makes sense, good. If it doesn't make sense, they will do anyway because they will obey. If we are God's servant, if we are God's children, if we have accepted Jesus as the Lord of our lives, we will obey Jesus no matter what, even when he asks us to do things that doesn't make sense. There are situations in our lives that we are trying to find, you know, some reason why I should go this way, why I should go that way. But when the Word of God and Jesus tells you from this Word where you should go without questioning. Although you may not understand, but God knows what he's doing in your life. And he will do, you know, great things and great miracles. He will transform water into wine in your life. And let me tell you, it's going to be the best wine ever. And you can't believe that. But there's another lesson I want to share with you in this. In the time of Jesus, you know, men would give the best wine first and then give the inferior. This is how man works. And it's part of our sinful nature. And I'm going to explain why. We give the best first and then the inferior. We give our best, you know, gifts first, and then when we gain something, we let them people know who we really are. And that is the way Satan works as well. Young people, Satan will always deceive you, showing, you know, the best thing first. When he invites you to drink, he's going to show you first the beautiful color of wine. He's going to show you the nice smell of drink. He's going to, you know, persuade you with, you know, the best and beautiful person that appears in front of you. And they are going to show you the best they can offer to you first. But then, what happens? When you are trapped, you're going to know what is all that about. You know, the best commercials you see on TV, incredibly, are the commercials or the commercials of alcohol and the commercials, I don't know here, but in Brazil, I remember the best and beautiful commercials were the alcohol and smoke and cigarettes. Oh, they show how people were free. They could do whatever they want. They were very popular. If they drink, if they smoke, oh, you're going to, you know, be famous. You're going to be, you know, admired by everyone. Everyone will look at you that you are, you know, a big man, a big girl, that you are able to take your decisions and be responsible. And you were trapped by that. And you follow that. But the last come the worst part. You are addicted. You can get free of that. That will consume your money, your health, your energy. Your beauty will take away. Your innocence. And you will probably end up in the ghetto. You're going to be, you know, people will look at you and be pitiful. We'll have, you know, this. Hopefully someone will show compassion at you. But this is where Satan is trying to take you, because he brings the best first and then he shows what it is. In marriage, the same one. When you're choosing the one you're going to choose for the rest of your life, what happens? Oh, everybody shows the best, their best face, no? When you're trying to, you know, impress that girl, or you want to try to impress that boy, you want to show all your virtues before. In such a way that your defects are so minimized that they are easily excused. And people will say, oh, that is nothing compared to what he is, what she is. I know that when we marry, he will change. I know when we marry, she will change. I agree with that. They will change, yes. For the worse, yes. That's what happens. Everybody changes. We change. Everybody changes. But unfortunately, we change for the worse. And what seems to be so, you know, small, tiny defects become so huge monsters that have broken families apart. So be wise. Be wise. Because Jesus is the one who always brings the best from the beginning to the end. If you're wise, you're going to see the best of anything from the beginning to the end. You will know by its fruits. Can alcohol make you happy? Can smoke make you happy? Just look around. Just look around and see those who are suffering in hospitals, in clinics, or, you know, in the streets. Jesus is the one who always brings the best in your life. If you let him guide you, if you let him transform your life, he will change you from water to wine, to the best wine ever. That's not the wine that makes you drunk. The wine that Jesus wants to give you is not the one with alcohol. It's the one who you can drink the whole day and be happy and feel healthy. Because he won't give you anything fermented. He'll give you the pure and healthy stuff. So, that's how miracle happened. We don't know if it was, you know, when they took the water out of the water pots. We don't know if it was just when, you know, the master of the feast tasted it. But somehow, in that process, Jesus made a great miracle. You may not know when God has made a miracle in your life. You may not know how to explain how he did or when he will do it. But I'm going to guarantee you, he will do it if you let him do that. He will change your life completely. He will bring hope. He will bring salvation. He will bring happiness. He'll bring health if you let him do so. If you are just one of those servants, without questioning, you just go and obey. You may not understand. You may not have all the answers. You may not know when and how it happened. But you're going to know that something has happened in your life if you let Jesus do it. And the story ends with this important lesson. Jesus, the story doesn't say, but I can just imagine, after he said to those servants, go and give it to, you know, the master of the feast, he departed from the feast. Nobody could find him because he didn't want to receive the praise, but he wanted God to be praised. He wants all the honor and the glory to be placed upon his Father. And his disciples, the story says, believed in him. That was a powerful way to start his ministry. Jesus will never do something just to bring, you know, the attention to himself. But he wanted his disciples to believe in him. And today we are his disciples. We can learn from him that we can just believe. If he did then, he can do it today. Why? The scripture says in Hebrews 13, says that God is the same yesterday, he is the same today, and he is the same forever. He is the same. He is transforming water into wine today. This is my prayer, that you allow him to come into your life, shake things up, do things that you won't, you know why he's doing that. But if you believe, you're going to praise the name of God in your life. This is my prayer this morning. Amen.